Good topics, great guests, all the time. Unmanned Radio.
Radio show. I'm going to be joined by Vinny Eastwood from the Vinny Eastwood show in a few minutes. I think I just woke him up. And we don't really have any set topics. Vinny just kind of goes off the bat and just, you know, just comes up with stuff. And I'm just going to add him to the show now. Hey.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. We've just started.
Choice.
And so I was just saying, we don't really have any set topics. Just before I got on, I just poured myself a glass of water. And I just bought some of these like alkalizing sticks. I found them for like really cheap online. And I thought it was going to bubble and stuff. And so I just put it in, and it appears to do nothing. And then I tasted it, and it tastes, you know, like significantly different. And these are apparently meant to help people, like, lose weight and have all these health benefits and fight cancer and stuff. But they cost, like, $5. Have you ever heard of these things?
No.
Yeah, it's just, it's meant to alkalize the water. And I just got, like, a pair of these off,
If you want to alkalize the water and if that thing's costing you $5, just spend $2 and get an entire massive box of, baking soda. That does the same thing. Or, squeeze lemon into the water. That alkalizes it too.
Or lime. I saw that you can get some, like, kettle-looking designs, like some water purification systems, and they're quite big, but this one you can just like drop into a water bowl, or you can drop it into like a pint glass. But yeah, I've not really tried baking soda. I remember tasting baking soda as a kid and really hating it.
Oh yeah, well, you don't eat it like in quite a spoonful, obviously. Yeah. You know, like one teaspoon in a full glass of water and mix it all up, it's fine. If you don't have baking soda, just ordinary iodized table salt, about a very small pinch of that, mineralizes the water as well. So there's all sorts of ways to do that kind of stuff with your water, basically on the cheap. But still, having something that's, you know, fancy and saying that it alkalizes and prevents cancer and everything like that, even though that does the same thing as everything else, is still pretty cool.
Yeah, it's also called a diet water stick, and it's like, it's kind of funny how there's those marketed water as a diet water, and
it's like, how many calories is there in a fracking cup of water?
Yeah, like I heard that you lose calories from drinking water because you use much more energy drinking it than you do actually gaining from the water itself, you know.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of sugars or energies or anything in that. And, you know, I've only just woken up, and I mean, this has had a bit of a, stouch last night. Is that music coming from the ads?
Yeah, we're about to do it.
All right.
Isn't joining this show, but he will be here in the next hour for our Cure Cancer Radio. And So I was just speaking about these alkalizing sticks, which apparently they're making some money off. And so I was quite surprised this week that there wasn't too much drama happening in America, because last week there was some kind of mass event every single day. There was some, like, shootings and bombings. And, I mean, yesterday there was...
I'm back. Sorry about that.
Oh, welcome back. So I was just saying, like, there hasn't been much drama in America this past week. But the previous week, there's been, like, so much stuff going on, like, everyday shootings and bombings and, you know, the Texas explosion and stuff. But there has been some... there was a shooting yesterday, I think, at some airport. I don't have the article in front of me, but a guy basically tried to mass shoot people in an airport.
You mean just like on Call of Duty? No, there's actually a video game, bro. I think it's in the second mission or whatever. It was might have been Modern Warfare 3.
It was
Modern Warfare 2, where you blow away.
I remember playing that section, yeah. And you kind of play the role as a double agent.
Yeah, and you slaughter a whole bunch of innocent people.
Yeah, basically as many as possible.
Not entirely dissimilar from this particular incident you're talking about now?
I'm not entirely sure how many he planned on killing, but it was just going to be like a mass shooting. But apparently they took the DHS took him down, basically.
Oh, finally, the Department of Homeland Security actually does save people's lives.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that you mentioned that, because there was the apparent terrorists stopped in Canada that were going to bomb a train going into the U.S. And then there was also three apparent like Al-Qaeda members arrested in or around London. And I think they said there was two more since. And they were going to set up lots of explosions around London and cause some like really significant event that they were comparing again to like the 7/7 and 9/11 scenarios. And there was also some people who turned up to an EDL rally. EDL is the English Defence League, kind of considered racist against Muslims in this country, but they're still quite a big group. And they do these rallies around the country, kind of protesting against things like Sharia law and Muslims coming to the UK, you know, immigration laws and stuff like that. They kind of protest against all that stuff.
Are they damaging any person's property while they're doing these protests or hurting anybody?
Sometimes they're really violent and, you know, they get drunk and they're kind of like hooligans. But, I mean, not all of them. But anyway, my point is that a few Muslims, I don't think they're connected to any kind of like Al-Qaeda group or whatever, but they were apparently going to bomb an EDL rally. And they only decided...
I love that. It's like, we've got an EDL rally, kind of guy with a sign that says, Muslims are bomber terrorists, and then the Muslim says, hey, that guy's demonizing us, let's bomb him!
Yeah, well, apparently they only gave up when they arrived there, and the rally was over already. And, like... I don't know how they were even caught, because they apparently had everything set up. But then they got there and the rally was already over, and then they got arrested. I mean, I don't really know how that works, but I mean, a lot of these shootings and terrorist attacks have been happening, or, you know, I say terrorist attacks, supposed terrorist attacks, in the past couple of weeks. And now they're kind of arresting everyone before anything happens, or something just doesn't go to plan, and, you know.
Yeah, well, maybe they, for once, genuine people who are actually trying to do something, and the only alleged terrorist attacks that don't get stopped are the ones that the government themselves implemented.
Yeah, well, I mean, all of these terrorist.
Like, you can't commit real terrorism. Look, we're the only ones allowed to commit terrorism here, you bad, bad, naughty boy. We're going to use our surveillance technology on you to stop you from committing those terrible terrorist acts. Yeah, but what about the times that all these bombs and everything went off? No, we did that. That's fine. All right. But you're not allowed to. False flag terrorism is specifically the domain of the government. And if you're going to commit real terrorism, that's really bad, bad, bad thing. We're going to have to stop you.
Yeah, I was talking to some people about the kind of Syrian issue recently and obviously getting lots of kind of mixed messages about both sides being the kind of correct side. And the US or the UN or whatever supporting the rebels. And it's kind of like what I was thinking last night about what really are they supporting? And I mean, by giving people guns, those guns are only really going to be used to either kill people or to destroy something, you know, I mean, they're not going to be used for any good at all. It's not like you're supporting the takedown of some kind of bad regime when you're just handing out machine guns and like missile launchers and stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know this is the same kind of situation as Libya and other places like that. And like I was speaking to someone about Syria yesterday and they were saying that Syria was a really peaceful place, even for Christians as well as Muslims. And like from what I've heard, Libya was a really peaceful place as well. And I mean, there's mixed messages coming in about Iran as well. So it's just like...
Did you know, and this actually blew my mind when I heard this, did you know that Iran has a booming Jewish population?
I know that they have quite a big Jewish population and that they actually meet with Ahmadinejad on like their council or whatever. I've heard some mixed messages
like
about
this is the guy who says who was misquoted, mind you, mm-hmm. as saying that Israel should be bound into the sea, and then here he is openly negotiating, talking with, and even supporting the local Jewish communities in Iran. Anybody seeing a disconnect here?
Yeah, and there's so many people that message in on Facebook and through emails saying to me, about quoting him as being against Israel, and they're obviously living in Israel or they're Jewish, because I mean, unless they're Jewish or living in Israel or Christian, then there aren't really anyone supporting Israel. You know, from what I know, from what I've seen, and these people are keep quoting him and saying that he's
wants to wipe Israel off the map.
Yeah,
and you know what was funny is that he was talking about Zionism, and he said, as a political ideology, it will be wiped off the map. You know, the ideology of what people allege is oppression of certain peoples. You know, treating everybody like the goyim, the slaves under us, and that kind of thing. Like, well, it's not actually Zionism. That's not what it actually is. That's like a, you know, the difference between a Christian extremist and a real Christian, you know,
yeah.
Like Christian's a real decent person, helps you out, works in their community or something like that. But a Christian extremist thinks that the best way to serve God is to blow themselves up in a market or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well,
there's a very similar difference between what real Zionism is and what extremist, interpretations of Zionism is, you know. Zionism's actually, I think it means to bring about a world of peace or something of that nature. But just like most other countries, they've had a political regime take over and dominate the system, and now they're making everybody else in the country look bad.
Yeah. That's the same for lots of different countries, lots of different religions as well. I mean, there's a few... There's a few Muslim extremists that make Muslims look bad to lots of like non-Muslims, let's say. And I mean, it doesn't really work with Christianity though, not as much. I mean, Christianity is not really demonized by people as like a terrorist religion. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, but being Christian is something that is absolutely 100% demonized in the mainstream media and all over the place. I mean, seriously, I've found that I've actually heard, like, with my own ears in person, more people criticizing Christianity than people who criticize Islam in the Western world. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
You know, you're Christian, you're crazy. People don't actually care about Islam. They're not threatened by it. They know nothing about it. But they do see anybody who believes in Jesus Christ or God or going to church on Sunday as a crazy person. And if they happen to be holding a Bible and trying to convert you when you're walking down the street, even more so.
Yeah, definitely. There's the whole kind of demonized Jehovah's Witness, you know, like scenario that, like, everyone, you know, I won't answer the door to Jehovah's Witnesses or whatever. And
I actually let the Jehovah's Witnesses into my house once. They were like, oh, you know how origin of life on Earth started? And I go, well, let me show you this. And have you ever heard of Lloyd Pye?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Star Child skull? Like, he came to New Zealand and I filmed his presentation, and I showed the Jehovah's Witnesses the alien Star Child skull. It blew their freaking minds. No, you think you know about the origin of life on Earth? Watch this.
Yeah, I've always wanted to just kind of put on some kind of like pentagram or an upside down cross just to kind of question their openness. You know, not because I'm in support of like demonic symbols or whatever.
Yeah. Well, see, the other element is religion in itself, most people don't even understand what it is, and they don't understand spirituality. In the opinion of my good friend Jonathan Eisen, that spirituality and religion are basically mutually exclusive. And what's happening now is you've got... let me see if I can do this without offending people. Okay, it's not possible. Frack it. All right. Anyway, basically, if you are looking towards only one piece of reading material to solve all of your life's issues, and you choose to ignore every single other thing in the entire universe in relation to how things work, then you're brainwashed. You're under mind control. Okay? It's just that simple. So if you think the Bible has all the answers, it's not true. If you think the Quran has all the answers, it's not true. Sure, they've got incredibly good lessons, rules for life, how to basically be a good person and what have you, but it's not the be-all and end-all. Your experiences and your relationships with other people, I believe, matter very, very much. And what I do see as a disconnect is a bunch of people who believe very, very strongly, yet they're very reasonable, so they don't allow their beliefs to cloud their judgment or their logic. Those are the kind of people who aren't brainwashed. They may practice their religion rather intensely at times, but they don't try and go out converting everybody else and tell them that the end is nigh and you're going to hell if you don't believe in such and such and blah blah blah. They believe it, but they don't try and push their religion on other people.
Yeah.
It's kind of like exposing yourself in public, as it were. It's just, you know, not cool, man. And people certainly don't like it if you expose yourself in public and try to shove it down children's throats.
Yeah, I find the same thing recently just starting up with atheism in the past couple of years as well. There's kind of people preaching that as a kind of religion, as an ultimate truth.
Yeah. Atheism is a religion.
Yeah, I mean, the UK has an atheist church now, and they had so many members that they're opening up new churches, you know. There was like thousands of people that turned up. I'll try and find out some more information about that after the break.
Yeah.
Apparently it's going global because it's so popular. But apparently some study was done which kind of shows that religious people are happier than atheists. So perhaps that's why they kind of created a church, just to kind of get the benefits of religion without, or I should say more organized religion or scripted, you know, religion than everything else. There's even a First Church of Atheism website. Now teaching like scientific, I see a picture and they've got some like scientific algorithm on the screen in North London, and they're kind of preaching these equations as kind of like the facts of life and stuff like that, and answering the kind of wondrous mysteries of life using kind of like probably theories, you know, quantum theories and stuff like that. Apparently, you know, Dawkins and Ricky Gervais and people like that are really making atheism popular, and all these people are turning up to this atheist church to try and find out what it's about. And it's even set in an old Christian church with there's other like Christian preachers that they've invited into this group to kind of convert them to atheism. And they're just kind of teaching them science, it looks like, as a kind of scripture, almost. And that reminds me
hold on a second.
Okay.
Is science not a religion?
Well, that's the debate. I kind of find it to be like a religion when you cannot prove anything. And basically, you can't prove anything. So, I mean, whatever anyone believes is what I would call a belief system, and if enough people are following that or preaching it, then it's kind of a religion, isn't it? If they're organizing it, then they're turning into an organized religion.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty straightforward, I think. I mean, if you've got a belief structure, then it's not a science, okay? And atheism's a belief structure because they don't have the science to disprove that God exists yet. And in fact, science and the founders of it, guess who they all were? Really heavily religious guys.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're an atheist, let me just see if I understand this. All right. If you're an atheist, you're basing your religion whilst denouncing religion on science, which was founded by religious people, and you're doing it in a church saying that God doesn't exist. You fucking idiots. Understand the origin of their own belief structure, and they think they're better than Christians and don't even read the Bible. You've got to be freaking kidding me. Now, is this a cult? Is the other thing. Because how do you define a cult? It's a deep reverence or a veneration of a person, idea, or thing. Now, have you ever had somebody who is one of those quote-unquote crazy religious people who seem very fanatical coming up to you, getting all heated and angry and so on and so forth? I've had atheists do that to me too.
Yeah.
They're fanatic cultists.
Than Christians.
All right, so they're fanatic cultists in some cases who are predicated not by a belief in something, but by a disbelief in something. Okay. What's nihilism again? When you believe in basically nothing? And you think that this is all there is? And just kind of live to your own beat and march to your own tune and what have you and frack everybody else? Is that what's going on here?
Basically.
To an extent? Because I'm rather perturbed by this. Like, my sister's an atheist, you know, proud atheist. And I don't know about you. I mean, we could sit here and say what my religious beliefs are. Would you like that? Because I think it might be a little bit different to these people. You're aware of the fractal universe?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, that's what I reckon God is. It's just one stage up the fractal universe scale, and that's my God. And then there's a bigger God than that, and a bigger God than that. It's pretty straightforward, isn't it?
And logical. Atheism and nihilism.
Yeah, well, okay, let me just define what my religious belief is, okay? There was this dude who invented a microscope, like, back in 1905, right? And he managed to get 60,000 times magnification by focusing the visual spectrum through granite crystal. Is that another break coming?
No, that's just some background music.
Okay. Because, frack, if that was another break coming... I've seriously gone nuts. Anyway, the thing that this guy found is that when you look into a cell, let's say you look at a piece of skin, and you see the piece of skin's made up of all these cells, right? And that's about how you can look into things at the moment with a 10,000 magnification microscope. This guy had 60,000. So he was able to look inside those cells. And he found out that they were made up of all these other cells. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, that's very interesting. So he looked inside all those other cells, and they were made up of all these other cells. And he looked inside those, and they were made up of all these other ones. It was like infinite life upon life upon life upon life upon life upon life in an infinite chain down the scale. And my philosophy is, I think my spiritual belief really, is that I'm part of an organism as well, just like my body is made up of all these cells, and each of those cells are made up of other ones. I get to experience this this body, the Vinnie Eastwood body, and I'm part of a much larger organism, quite probably the next organism up on the scale that I could be part of would be the Earth. Okay, so the Earth is an organism, and each cell of the Earth is like, you know, a living tree or a living human or a living lizard or a spider or something of that nature. And they're all independent cells operating in this one big organism that we call the Earth. And the Earth in itself is only one little organism in a much larger creature called, say, the galaxy, right? Mm-hmm. For which in the galaxy there's billions of stars and they're all just basically cells of that one organism. And galaxies are not the largest celestial object out there. There's also these red dwarf star clusters and so on and so forth up the scale. And I'm thinking, you know, it's pretty clear to me the fractal nature of the universe goes for biology as well as it does the cosmos. And that's my belief, is that I'm part of a organism, and each and every organism, whichever scale they're on, whether they be an earth organism or a cellular amoeba organism, whatever creature happens to be up the next fractal ladder from you, that's your God. Okay, so to all the cells in my body, I'm God. And to me, the Earth is God. And so on and so forth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So in a way, what happens is everything is one, okay, regardless, it's one. I am part of this animal, this organism, and I'm linked inexplicably with all the other organisms that live on this particular plane as well. And the benefit of it is, hey, I get to experience everything subjectively, and there's infinite things you can do in this life, isn't there? And you're all part of it. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, it's like when you look under a microscope and then you look into a telescope and you see very similar shapes and patterns and stuff like that. And it's kind of like those pictures of the neurons in the brain and then the galaxies.
And then the picture of the universe kind of thing, yeah. You know? Yeah. Everything's all one. It's all the same. Yeah. And I think what atheism is doing mistakenly is they're trying to basically they've got a belief that God doesn't exist, okay, and that evolution is all there is, and so on and so forth. Now Darwin even said in his writings that if only one piece of evidence comes out that an organism evolved without doing a progressive evolution, like, for example, a rhino's horn used to be a nub but gets an extra layer of so on and so forth material on it until it becomes a massive horn, you know, step-by-step process. If there's anything that has to be slotted in together in sequence, then there's no possibility that evolution is real, apart from microevolution, which is what Darwin really found out about the finches. You know, you've got several generations, and they've got to evolve sharper beaks over time, so the beak gets progressively sharper and sharper. But if it evolved a third eye out of the back of its head or something like that, and it requires an awful lot of complexity, like if you can't just suddenly have something that has no use there whatsoever that eventually becomes something. Like, you don't grow a nub of a tail and then eventually have a tail like a monkey and be able to swing from tree to tree with it. Something has to have a practical use when it first starts evolving in order for it to be evolution. If it's anything else, then it's creative design, intelligent design, as it were. And BBC did a documentary about, what's it called? The Paramecium Propeller. Have you ever heard of this?
No, I haven't.
Freaking interesting, man. I haven't been able to find the documentary again yet, but I saw it this one time and it blew my mind, man. You know how an engine works, how you've got like a crankshaft and all of these moving parts and everything, and they have to be assembled in a very specific way in order to work, and if only one part is out of whack, or if it doesn't exist, if it's not there, the engine just doesn't work at all.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They found that parameciums, a little little one-celled organisms, they have these tails, and within the tails are actually all these moving parts. Like they actually look like they're mechanically assembled. They've got wheels with cranks on them and stuff like that, and literally like just like a vehicle, and it had to be assembled in a precise order in order for it to work at all. And it couldn't have evolved it, because what's a crankshaft without a propeller? What's a propeller without a crankshaft? It's nothing. It's just an extra thing that's grown off of you that has absolutely no use. So it's not evolution. It's like that'd be like a radiation contamination or something like that, because it's creating something that has no practical use and it's completely out of the ordinary. Whereas this thing, on the other hand, if it's assembled in a precise order, which it obviously is, then it's creative design, intelligent design. And this thing is something that really offends atheists, because they automatically say, oh, you're religious. It's like, no, we're actually using the science. You're the ones who are religious because you don't know what science is. You don't even know what the true teachings of Darwin are, you frickin' idiots. You don't know that that religious people started science. You know, Newton was a very religious man. Galileo and all of these other people who basically formed the belief structures of that culminated mathematics and physics and technology and everything that we have to our days, they all came from religious backgrounds. Okay. What do you think an atheist is going to contribute to society if they've got no belief in any higher power than themselves? I think they'll wind up becoming really selfish, nihilistic, psychopathic people who think that everybody else is an idiot but me, and therefore, I'm God.
Yeah, it is a big kind of ego trip, especially like that. But coming to something a bit different, what really interests me is the kind of number of genes in DNA, the number of DNA strands. That, you know, there's been no evidence that I've seen, at least, that evolution can contribute to, you know, one species to another with more DNA strands than the previous. I mean, you know, you can inbreed species and get the kind of traits, you know, like inbreeding dogs to get pedigrees and stuff like that. They all have the same number of genes. They're just slightly different because you've taken the characteristics and, you know, bred them together. But if you wanted to kind of evolve that, like, you know, like a chimpanzee to a human, how did that happen? And if one like human baby was born or whatever, or one species in between which had more genes than the previous, how could that then reproduce if they had different genes? Like, you'd have to have two at the exact same time. Like, you know, and this would have had to happen for every species on the planet. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it just gets to the point where lots of people have beliefs, and the reason why they're beliefs is because they can't prove what they're saying is true. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it's a false belief. If you can't prove that it's true, or if you can't prove some benefit in believing that it's true, at least, you know, some real obvious benefit, like, then it's basically you're deluding yourself. Now, think about the most interesting example that I have, which is the reason why I believe in a higher organism or God or something like that. I don't know exactly its form or shape or consciousness, but I see benefit in simply having the belief. If you believe in God, you get a certain amount of benefits. As you were talking about before, religious people are generally a bit more happy. Now, the prime example that I used to use, still do, is Vietnam POWs. In the POW camps, the survival rate for people who didn't believe in gods or God of any kind was basically nil. They all died. And those who had a very strong belief in God had a very, very high survival rate. It's because when they were locked away and they had nobody coming to save them, they weren't alone in their little prison camp. They had a deep spiritual belief. They had something in that cage with them, keeping them alive, giving them eternal hope. Now, I think that even if God doesn't exist, simply believing that he does is its own benefit. If you're an atheist, on the other hand, you'll just die in that cage because you got nothing. That's a very serious lesson that I think everybody better learn. Having something higher than yourself allows you to survive things that ordinary humans can't. It allows you to accomplish things that ordinary people can't. And maybe it's just pure selfishness to say, oh, God doesn't exist. I'm scientific. Yeah.
Yeah, I think totally atheism is like one of the hardest religions to kind of try to prove, because you have to you basically have to explain every unexplainable thing that there is, like, ever in the universe, ever. Do you know what I mean? And if you can't explain just one thing, then you open up the possibility that there might be a God.
Well, you know, I got this old saying, bro. Anybody who believes that they know everything obviously knows nothing. And people who think that they know nothing know enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. The only organism that, you know, theoretically could know everything is a god, right? And that's what atheism is. It's kind of like, I don't know. I wonder if it's being perpetuated by Satanists in order to undermine real religion, in order to get people to be soulless, faithless, selfish people who reject any form of the divine within themselves. I wonder.
You remind me of the quote, I know one thing that I know nothing. And clearly just, you know, someone who really accepts that on a deep level actually knows quite a lot. Or accepts that they have the kind of perceptual concepts of quite a lot, at least. But to know that you actually know nothing as a specific fact, to me is quite wise.
Well, that's Socrates. I know that I know nothing.
Yep. We'll be right back. what is the universe debate.
Yeah.
Does God exist? Are we going to give the meaning of life in the last 6 minutes?
Fuck.
Saying that, my friend has quite a nice saying, which is the meaning of life is to give life meaning. And I always try to go by that because it's like, it's kind of like saying you are actually in control of your life, you know, and if you want to do something with your life, then you can do it. And if you don't do anything with your life and you consider that your life has no meaning, well, that's really your fault.
Well, yeah, you become depressed, don't you? It's yeah. Like, oh, there's no point in doing anything, so I won't do anything. And then, incidentally, life has no point because you weren't doing anything. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, isn't it?
It's like a lot of the New Age believers. Before that 21st of December 2012, there were so many people waiting for some kind of like mission or a sign or some mass change overnight. And then everyone would know what to do. And everyone was just like, you know, like a cult or a religion just waiting for this day as a kind of messiah, and then nothing noticeable happened that day, and the people are still kind of continuing the cult. Some of them are like lost belief, and then there was a bunch of like suicides, but thankfully not as many as predicted. And it's just like these people had been waiting for years not doing anything because they believed that something would come out of this date, that they would know what to do after this date, and now they still don't know what they've done, and they've wasted all this time. And
see, this is what happens when you've got a belief based on something you cannot prove any benefits of.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What's the benefit of believing that 2012, it's a good idea to kill yourself? Well, you die. Is that beneficial? Fucking idiot. I'm sorry. Are we allowed to swear on this radio?
Let's say a little bit.
I'm sorry. It just slipped out there. But, well, basically, there's nobody who irritates me more than New Ages. I mean, atheists aside, atheists, it's like a cross between it. It's like an aphid that doesn't believe in God. Atheists. Anyway, New Ages irritate me more than atheists because they believe in things that are just crazy, you know? Atheists believe in something that's just not true, and they're kind of fanatical about it. But New Ages are just kind of like, they've totally lost touch with reality, okay? Like, reality in itself, even the physical plane, doesn't exist for these people. And everything's all energy and ethereal consciousness, such and such, and blah, 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 okay? They have no idea what they're talking about. And it occurs to me that if you're going to, again, base your belief structure on something that is only a perceptual benefit, like I meditate because of such and such and blah, blah, blah. I don't meditate. You know why? Because I accomplish very little when I've got my eyes closed. I like to keep my eyes freaking open when I'm doing my thinking, when I'm doing my centering. If I start to think to myself, you know what, I'm a really good person and I do a lot of really good things with my time on this earth and I help people and I am actually creating things that are tangible, you know, radio recordings, videos and so on and so forth, and gaining listenership and what have you. Now, these things are, you know, only one thing that I'm doing, but I'm accomplishing a heck of a lot than most other people in this entire movement are. And that's not because I'm too full of myself. That's because I understand that there's nobody in New Zealand doing it and it needs to be done. Like, I'm fulfilling my part in what I see as the universal flow. If something is good, but it doesn't exist, then it's your responsibility to create it, right? Whereas a New Ager will see something missing and then think if they send good vibes to it, then everything will happen. Mm-hmm. It doesn't frickin' work,
that
okay?
Just make someone else do it for you.
Yeah, okay? It's stupid. And I don't know how you get about this, but I actually get irritated talking to these people. They've got this tonality of voice that frustrates me. This, this sort of ethereal nonsense that just comes out of their mouth. And this isn't me like being persecutory or anything. It's just that these people don't. They just appear to me to be very, very ungrounded. Okay, like they've abandoned all emotion. They don't get angry, they don't get overly happy. They seem to be content being plateaued, emotionally speaking. And I don't think that that's human, really. You know, you've got to be happy, sad, angry, and experience a full range of emotional complexity in order to qualify as being human, in my opinion. These people simply don't qualify. They think that they're detached from the rest of the human race, that belief is stronger than a bullet. I can assure you, many people have thought this, and they all got shot in the head and died. Playing Russian roulette. Oh, don't worry. If I channel the ethereal energy properly, the bullet will pass through my head and nothing will happen to me. Bang!
Anyway, we're coming to the end of the show. Thanks for joining us.